In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Just one of many examples in the pastoral letters where Paul tells Timothy or Titus, watch your life. Make sure you are God-like in the way you're acting, which I assume is what we mean by godliness. And he's talking to quite experienced gospel ministers. I know there's a sort of little bit of emphasis on being young, but actually they've been with him a lot. And he trusts them enough to say, go and sort out leadership in local churches. So they're quite experienced ministers. And we might think, you might be thinking, oh, I'm on the pathway to that sort of godliness now. I'm working on it now. But once I become a minister, well, then of course I'll be godly. And yet, Paul says to Timothy and Titus, you need to keep working on this. You need to keep watching it. And I think in part that's because there are some real dangers in pastoral ministry, on top of all the other problems that we have as common to humanity, that can lead to ministers failing to grow in godliness. That the very way that roles work actually can make it harder to grow in godliness. So let me give three reasons why I think it can be harder to grow in godliness as a minister. The first is the office. If you have an official church role, if you're in a paid ministry role, people will just assume you're godly because you're the pastor, you're the women's worker. And often it could be quite easy to have no one checking up on you. Now, good eldership will hopefully be doing that if you're an elder. Church structures should enable every worker to be checked up. But actually, often we put a lot of effort into checking people on the way into ministry. And there's very little oversight, very little checking up on you in ministry. Sometimes that will even extend to public behavior not being challenged. Things that are clearly wrong not being challenged because people assume, well, if the pastor does it, it must be okay. So the office can actually almost exclude you from scrutiny, let you get away with stuff you shouldn't be getting away with. Secondly, the demands. There are lots of demands on you as a gospel minister. And one of the frustrating things is that the most pressing demands are not related to your godliness. The list of things to do in the week is long. The only person who notices if you don't pray is you. People will notice if your talk isn't up to standard, the event wasn't perfectly organized, if you didn't turn up when they wanted you to because there was an emergency in their life. People will notice those, drop those, do those badly, you will get complaints. Drop your personal prayer time, stop the time to try and read a bit deeper into scripture. No one notices. And so the urgent and the visible takes priority over real godliness. And thirdly, the brand. This is the danger, that subtly my ministry becomes about me and not about Jesus. I become the brand, or the church becomes the brand, or the organization. And brands need to be protected. And so I can't be honest about my failures. There's no safety in the system. The moment I'm a risk, the moment I expose my failures, well, I'm out. I've damaged the brand. I must look good. And I talk about Jesus, and I talk about church ministry to make myself look good to others. And my plans subtly become God's will. And anyone who gets in the way needs to be dealt with. And ministry becomes about me and not about Jesus. And that makes it very hard to grow in godliness. So the office, the demands, and the brand all make us vulnerable to appearing godly as a show, while actually withering spiritually and becoming increasingly ungodly. In the language of 2 Timothy 3, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So we talk about how good Jesus is from the pulpit, but never actually spend time alone in prayer and with the Bible open. And that's, I take it, the core problem. The core problem is that you can't actually do ministry for God unless you are like God, and you only get to be like God when you spend time with God. So there's a danger that we will not grow in godliness. Let me now highlight four different ways that we might do that. There's a whole range of failure modes in 1 and 2 Timothy, lots of different ways we can go wrong. Here are four common ways that those in ministry fail to grow in godliness. They fall into sin. A common theme would be greed for money, 2 Timothy 3:2. Often in ministry, you're paid less than you would have been if you'd been doing a secular job, and that can easily lead to greed for money. Another would be love of pleasure in 2 Timothy 3:4. which I think is often then exposed in terms of abuse of alcohol or other stimulants, other addictive things, and then sexual sin, which I think is implied by 2 Timothy 3:6. And the temptation with all of these is to say, I've worked so much, I've done so much hard work, I've sacrificed so much for God, I deserve something back. I'm not filling myself up with Jesus, so now I need to fill myself up with something else to compensate for the hard work of ministry. For some, it will be the role, being a trusted Christian leader, gives us access to things, to gaining money or to sex or whatever, and they've exploited their position. I think that's less common. I think the more common thing is we justify our hidden sins. We don't declare a gift. Pornography or whatever it is. We take hidden pleasures and we justify it to ourselves because of the hard work, because of the stress. Well, alongside money, drink and sex, I think we're perhaps particularly aware in the current climate of also the risk of misusing power in ministry, the abusive demands on church members or angry and unkind winning of arguments to get our way. And all too easily, our vision for church ministry becomes so important to us that we treat people like pawns in our plans and not as precious children of God to be cared for. And so 2 Timothy 2:24 adds in a fourth thing that we need to do, that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. If you're passionate about ministry and got plans for how things will develop, this requirement to be patient and gentle will be a real challenge. I thought I was patient until I had children, and then I realized I just hadn't been tested enough. And church ministry, Christian ministry, is the same for many of us. We thought we were patient, and then we're trying to do what we think is right, and people are getting in the way. And the question is that exposing our ungodliness? So various ways we can go wrong, that we can be ungodly. How do we avoid them? How do we grow in godliness? I'm going to go back to the basics of the Christian life, and not so much practices, but basic truths that help us to grow in godliness. So the first is this: we're right with God by his grace in Christ. Romans 3:28 says, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." The constant danger is that we find our identity and worth in our ministry performance and people's perception of us. And that needs to be undercut continually by remembering that we are sinners saved by grace. We are absolutely right with God entirely because of Jesus. Secondly, let's remember that Jesus himself is our great reward and joy. Jesus says in John 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." When we really walk with Jesus, we find that he is the source of joy. Taking time to listen to Jesus in the Bible and talking to God in prayer, it's life-giving and not just a job to tick off. And if it's become just a job to tick off, then we're losing that contact with the source of joy that enables us to do everything else in a godly way. Thirdly, what we offer people is Christ, not ourselves. So that's 2 Corinthians 4:5. "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Jesus is the brand, not us. Jesus is in the spotlight. Jesus is the hero. In ministry, we will only have joy and growing godliness if we keep remembering that. Fourthly, we ourselves are meant to model what it means to rest on Christ and follow him. One of my favourite verses is 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." There is a leadership role which says follow, but follow as I am following Jesus. It should be transparently clear that I'm not calling people to become my disciples, but follow me as we all become disciples of Jesus. And that includes modelling that we are those who get it wrong and that we repent when we get it wrong. I need Jesus just as much as everyone I'm ministering to. And fifthly and lastly, the church is not ours, but Jesus. Acts 20:28, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Jesus is the Lord of the shepherd who loves her, and I'm just an under-shepherd. So it's more important for me to show Jesus' character than for my plans to succeed. Growing in godliness is vital if we're to bear good fruit and run the race to the end. It's often hidden in the short term. It's important that you don't hear me saying, this is the key to ministry success. You could do all these things and your particular ministry might still fail. But this is the vital life-giving part of ministry. That we walk with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, so that we can minister for Jesus. With and like Jesus are the true foundations for acting for Jesus.